Good morning and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live presented by DraftKings. I'm Paul Dottino. He's Roman Oben. Our phone number is 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat if you prefer to talk to us on Twitter as we get ready for the Giants and Dallas Cowboys on Sunday down to the Big D. Now, the Giants just hit the practice field. They had to go inside today, Roman, because the inclement weather here in New Jersey. It's been raining throughout the night. It just cleared up a short time ago. But Coach Coughlin always, when the weather is bad, gets his guys inside. Doesn't want guys slipping and sliding and pulling hammies and all those kinds of things as they get ready for their final 2 days of preparation before the walkthrough on Saturday and then the trip to Dallas to face the NFC East rival Cowboys. Now, a couple of things I want to get out of the way here is the injury report, Roman, because This is what we saw at the end of practice yesterday, and guys are looking today to find out if DRC, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, is able to work out today. He was supposed to be limited yesterday, as we did our show on MSG.
Right.
Coach said he thought he would go. He did not go. That is a big concern for the Giants if he can't. So we're going to be trying to monitor practice to find out if he's able to go today. He's got himself, what they're saying now is a back and a hamstring problem. Again, I'm saying it's a lower body injury because at first it was an ankle. Then it was, what, the IT band. Yeah, the IT band. It was a quad. And it was a – bottom line is he's hurting.
Yeah.
And the Giants need him. It seems to me that J-Ron Hosley, who's being given the first opportunity to man the slot now that Thurman and McBride are on IR, will probably stay there, Roman. I suspect Zach Bowman would be the next guy up to take DRC's spot. Could you talk about him just a bit? And even though he doesn't have the speed of DRC, he's a pretty good player.
Yeah, he's a good player in terms of his smarts, his instincts. He had an interception last week, obviously. So he's good on breaking on the ball. So I think Zach Bowman, in terms of playing the corner position and a guy that you don't have to worry about it, him at that position in terms of being a liability, I don't think that's the case. I think Zach Bowman this week would do well playing corner. I think my concern is where what they do in the slot, how they roll the safeties. If you see C.V. Brown come back into play with Demps, maybe you see a three-safety package on certain downs, depending on what the Cowboys are doing. We obviously know the Cowboys have been running the ball extremely well, Paul, and that leads me to believe that there'll be a lot of two tight end sets, and so you might even see some sort of a three-safety package, just in my opinion.
And, of course, Nat Burhe.
Right.
Is also available, the rookie, who did play some of that third safety package when he was in college.
Right.
So he's familiar with it, at least. Whether or not he's got enough experience to take on the Cowboys Sunday, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, and again, it's a matchup league, and it's what can you do based on tendencies, and by the time you get to the game at 4:25 kickoff, you just got to play and execute. I said this yesterday, Paul, and I think a lot of onus for me is going to come down to the four guys that put their hand on the ground and make their living that way.
Totally agree.
Hankins, Jenkins, JPP, Mathias Kiwanuka, Demontre Moore when he comes
Ayers.
In. Ayers, you know, whoever's in that rotation, you've got to be able to stop that running game, stop that point of attack. Those offensive linemen of the Dallas Cowboys that are playing extremely well now, you've got to be able to stop those guys at the line of scrimmage, force those runs to spill outside. That's when roll, and that's when those safeties can spill. Linebackers can make their plays. Because if you don't, obviously, you don't want to see the corners and the safeties lead the tackles this week. You want to see it from the front seven. And then that obviously gives you seven people in pass coverage to deal with those that threat of Witten and Dez Bryant and Williams and all those guys and a guy to get pressure on Tony Romo as well.
Again, you're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live presented by DraftKings. Glad you could join us this morning on a rainy Thursday, or at least an overcast Thursday in New Jersey. Want to take a quick look at the Cowboys injury report, Roman. I don't know if you and Anita had a chance to do this when the show came on yesterday, but Bruce Carter with his thigh injury, real quick linebacker, not available for the Cowboys. He's going to miss his third straight game this week, so that's not good news for them. Doug Free has a bad foot. He's going to be out for a month, and so they're going to have to move Jeremy Parnell over to the starting right guard, or right tackle spot,
right,
because Free's unavailable to go. So, I don't know. Does that really affect their power running game? Probably not a lot because they want to run between the tackles anyway. They're not running a lot of off-tackle stuff.
Well, you want to secure between the tackles, but what a tackle does to the running game is he sets the edges. If he's not good at the point of attack or any right tackle, you can ask Kareem McKenzie or Scott Gregg or anybody that has played right tackle for Big Blue. If you can't set the edges, that makes the running back cut it back a lot sooner. That prevents you from doing any stretch plays where he has the options of bouncing outside.
But you're right when you said double tight ends before, though, and that helps him.
Yeah, oh, it helps a
lot.
You know
what I mean?
But, again, if he doesn't have that good first step off the football, it doesn't matter who's a tight end next to you, because as soon as a running back sees color, the opposite jersey, he's going to cut it back. And that's where, you know, a JPP or that backside, a pursuit, if you will come into play.
Interesting item is that Jeremy Parnell also is listed on the Cowboys injury report as limited by a chest injury. So I don't know exactly how healthy he is, but I don't know. Chest, that seems to me a strength thing, right? If you got a chest injury, you tell me. You're
well,
a tackle.
Chest, I'm looking at it from a muscular standpoint. A chest injury to me would be something in the respiratory department, which I'm I'm not an internal medicine doctor by
any
means. But
I don't know. I don't want to read too much into it.
If it's chest, you know, a la pectoral, upper chest, but the chest itself is that's a respiratory issue. So
okay.
If it's something muscular, it should be a muscle affiliated or joint or something tendon affiliated with the upper body.
Well, in any event, he is now their starting right tackle, and he is limited as of yesterday's practice. We'll get more word today later on this afternoon from Dallas as to what their injury report is as well. 201-939-4513 is our phone number here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings. Glad you could join us. Want to hit up a couple of Twitter comments before we go to the phones, because a lot of people like to – they're a little shy, Roman.
Oh, yeah,
shy.
They
like to hit us up on Twitter instead of making the phone
calls.
And
if they call that they're from New Jersey, they need to say what part of New Jersey they're from, because we are obviously housed in the state of New Jersey, so –
There you go. AJ Marshall has one. Says, if DRC isn't 100%, don't play him Sunday. Start Zach Bowman in his place.
And that's what we discussed.
You know, I'll tell you one thing about Bowman. He's got good length, good size, and he's strong for a corner. And so the Giants like his physicality.
Yeah.
But, again, he doesn't have that speed.
It's
and
the range.
Against a quick
it's the range.
Cowboys team.
Right.
Could be a bit of an issue. All right. We also have Nana, who says, I wonder how Cruz is holding up mentally, and that, of course, relating to Victor Cruz, who had the knee surgery, stopped by the facility yesterday for a half hour, saw Jerry Reese, did not see his teammates, though. They were out of practice while he was here and then went home.
Right.
We're told by Coach Coughlin that he's in good spirits. Roman, I can't imagine what that feels like to know that your season's over and now you can't help your football team.
Yeah, Paul, And Tom Coughlin said yesterday in the our press conference show just praises about what Victor Cruz has done. I mean, everyone loves his story of how he got to where he is now, and it's not so much of a blow in terms of X's and O's. You're losing a captain of the team. You're losing a leader. You're losing someone that's a presence. I mean, there's probably 10,000 number 80 jerseys that come to Giants or MetLife Stadium every home game. So. In terms of the identity of the team, we've been talking about identity. Victor Cruz is one of the, or if not the identity, of this Giants offense.
Yeah.
So for a lot of reasons, leadership, locker room, all, if you will, that's why he will be missed.
Of course, the attention that he takes from the opposing team's defense
is
a pretty
100%.
Big deal. All right, let's go to the calls. Eric from North Dakota, you're first on the show. Hello.
Good morning, Paul. How you guys all doing?
Hi.
Hey, Eric.
How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay, I was wondering, I know we're having problems with our secondary cornerback. Is there like a way that they could bring some 2X Giants players, like maybe Corey Webster or Terrell Thomas? You think that might help a little bit or no?
Well, I will say this, and then I want Roman to respond.
To help coach or to help?
Yeah. We'll let you go and listen in on the program. Two things. Terrell Thomas came off his third ACL last year, had a remarkable comeback, played in all 16 games, but the Giants had to manage him. He didn't practice much during the week at all in the second half of the season, and there is some heavy doubt as to how many snaps that knee has left in it.
Right.
And quite frankly, at this point in time, he was only a slot corner anyway. He wasn't able to get the speed back to be a guy on the outside. So given the risk of how many snaps does he have left, the Giants have decided to move on. A great comeback story. We all love him around here.
Yeah.
He was on his way to being a Pro Bowl player before he got hurt. We congratulate him on his recovery and being able to make it into the league last year. But remember, this season, he did go to training camp, signed with Seattle, and they cut him a very short time later. Pete Carroll was his old guy at USC.
Yeah.
So you'd have to think if he had something left and there was a risk worth taking, Seattle probably would have taken it. So that's the TNT story. Coy Webster was hurt most of last year. Kind of his career kind of went on the downside real quick with the Giants when he got hurt. And I haven't even seen him on the list of any tryouts anywhere. And Roman, let me just say this. If a guy hasn't even gone on visits or tryouts and he's been out now for half a season and during the whole offseason, I don't know what his thought process was, for him to even get back into it, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, and it becomes a health thing for me, Paul. There are guys that have been cut from teams that played healthy preseasons that just for just roster reasons couldn't make the team, played well enough in preseason. So there's a lot of guys out there more than Aaron Ross with healthy tape with recent games that they've played that would, to me, in my mind, be ahead of that totem pole, if you will, in terms of what their availability is. And then you don't bring a guy like that in who's been injured, who can't practice. That puts a strain on other guys. You know, the roster is a lot smaller. It's not training camp. So what, are you making a guy like Zach Bowman, who's starting, take scout team reps as well? I mean, when you bring in a guy like that you have to manage, like T2, it's a strain on everybody else in that position because you've only got a certain amount of people in that meeting room. And if one guy, I mean, just like Ahmad Bradshaw, when he was here, when he was playing running back, at a certain point, he was only practicing Fridays.
I know.
And so.
Still cooking, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's still. he found a way to get it done in Indianapolis. But so that's the reason why you don't just throw a name out there from the past and think that that's a immediate remedy. And I'm sure fans love to see the old Giant come back or a recent Giant come back. But just in terms of health and what you need to do to get through a season, there are better guys out there.
I will tell you, Coach is kind of intrigued by Chandler Fenner, the rookie who was in training camp and was just recently promoted from the practice squad. He likes him on the outside, not so much on the slot, but he's got some intriguing skills. And, you know, Coach has mentioned him before about a guy that they're really looking to take a look at. But, again, he wouldn't be a slot guy. Hosley right now gets the first shot to be the slot guy. Ed from Maryland, you're next on the show. Hi.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey,
sure.
I know it's Thursday, and we're looking to move forward from last week's devastating game. But I just want to talk a little bit about the Eagles-Giants rivalry.
Eagles or Cowboys?
Well, what the Eagles-Giants brings, I don't have too much time, but I just wanted to know, what's the record of Giants versus the Eagles the past few years? Because I know it's something like 10 losses versus only 2 wins.
The Eagles have won 7 of the past 10 meetings against the Giants going into the other night. So tack that one on. So that's 8 out of the last 11.
Right.
So now it's 8 of 11. Okay. So, you know, my thinking is I just try to figure out what is causing Kauffman and the Giants to always lose to the Eagles. I mean, being a dialogue Giants fan, it's just like Philly is like the big bad bullies and we're their little
okay, punk. But you know what? Right before that streak, if you went back another 3 or 4 years, the Giants had the exact reverse kind of record.
Right, and I never lost to the Eagles when I played here.
Right.
So.
It goes in waves.
Yeah,
it really does.
That was a guaranteed 2 games on that schedule. I hate to say that, but and I played in that era where we started the Eagles streak and in the mid-90s, and we never lost to the Eagles. We had some Ray Rhodes' teams, and then when Andy Reid got here, in the early stages of Donovan McNabb's development, the Eagles were not a game that we said they had our number or anything. But, again, things changed. Circumstances changed. Obviously, Reid had a lot of success with those teams, a lot of NFC championships. What Chip Kelly's doing now offensively is tremendous, but There's no formula as to why the Giants don't beat the Eagles. I think you go out there to win every week, and teams in your division know you a little bit better than other teams, and those matchups should be a little more even. Unfortunately, the matchup on Sunday wasn't so even, but I'd like to definitely just move forward and talk about Dallas today's show.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, to move forward about Dallas, you know, we tend to play them a little bit better, but, you know, they have a physical O-line. I mean, Philly last week, everybody knew they had trouble – the starting guys on that line staying healthy, and they weren't even playing. So how could we figure out that the Giants will play any better going to Dallas? Dallas, you know, they're playing very well. And, you know, I'm just trying to put my finger on it. Is it the Giants aren't practicing hard enough, or are they just taking it easy on in practice? They're not playing physical? Because it just comes down to it, whoever wants them more. And Philly, it's like whenever they play the Giants, they just bring it harder. They just play tougher, faster, meaner. And I know the Giants are classy and want to, you know, stop from the trash talk. But do you think the Giants need to start coaching these guys to play with more of an edge? You know, just play more nasty. Stop playing so passive and
I'm gonna just cut you and disagree with some of that. I mean, I think as a player,
thank you for the call.
Thanks, Ed. As a player, it's always been my opinion, Paul, that at some point between Friday afternoon and Sunday kickoff, no matter how practice went or how hard you practice or how easy, or maybe you were nursing an injury during the week or you took it easy, at some point between Friday afternoon, Paul, and Sunday kickoff or Sunday night or Monday night, it goes into your own personal approach to how you get ready to play. And so that's really a locker room issue. In terms of how this team is coached, they need to coach harder, they need to practice. I mean, these are all men that get paid to do their jobs, and you expect a better product on the field, Paul, in a divisional game. I mean, I'm still a little dumbfounded about why they dropped a goose egg on the road in a divisional game when this team had scored 30 points a game the last three before that.
Right.
Now, you could talk about circumstances, holding calls, and all those things, that a lot of those momentum killers, if you will, that led to Sunday's game. But it's in my opinion, and we talked about this already, Paul, that what the Eagles do offensively plays better into the Giants' strengths defensively. This is this is going to be a blue-collar football game. It's the Dallas Cowboys. Giants defensively, you know, gave up 27 points. They got their butts kicked, and they know that going in. That's the way they've been approaching this week.
Yes.
So I don't expect to see a repeat performance or a lack of performance, if you will, going into Dallas on Sunday afternoon. I'll be shocked if the result is the same like last week. I'd be shocked if Pugh and Beatty and those guys up front don't play better than they did last week. And again, last week, physical mistakes. We talked about this as opposed to mental mistakes or coverage breakdowns, blocking the wrong guy. I mean, that's not – we just saw just flat-out poor execution.
I will tell you this from an emotional and attitude perspective. The Giants definitely lost some swagger in Philadelphia because
100%.
They had it coming in. That's now gone from that locker room, at least from what I perceive yesterday and today around the building. But here's the one interesting fact. I've seen teams get knocked around and flat out beaten up like they were on Sunday and then come back and say, oh, it was nothing. You know, it was just one of those days, and kind of snuff it off as it just happened. That's not what I got from this team yesterday.
Good. That's
from
good.
Coach Coughlin down, it was, we lost focus. We didn't play hard enough. We didn't play well. We did wrong. I saw at least a lot of admission, a lot of taking responsibility, and at least I saw recognition on their part that they did lay an egg, that they were terrible, and that it is not acceptable. I have seen players and teams do this in the past, Roman, where they just – kind of like walk past the graveyard and don't think it's a big deal.
Right.
This was a big deal.
Right. And I'm glad that, because we've seen in the past, the last couple of years, that we're better than that. It's just a glitch in the
system.
That's not good enough. No, I'm glad that there was an acute awareness of what that loss really meant and what they have to do to try to stop and fix it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Elijah from Indiana, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings. Hello.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hi.
Hey, I kind of think that the last game against the Eagles kind of like, you know, dictated what our season kind of gonna be, because I think it first starts with our injuries. If our injuries like weren't really like, you know, serious, like the start up with Rashad Jennings, I think kind of hurt us, you know, with us running the game on Sunday, and all that pressure went to Williams, so I think that's why you know, our offense kind of wasn't as good or effective as it really should have been. And to finish that off with our other injury, it's like we get injured like every single game.
Well, and look, everybody has to play with injuries, my friend, so I'm going to put you on hold for just a second here. The other thing is, it sounds like you're putting a little more of this on Andre Williams' shoulders than needs to be. I think Roman will tell you there was nowhere to go.
If you go back to Houston game, Atlanta, I mean, you saw the holes that were open, that running backs, Jennings getting through the line of scrimmage before his initial contact. But through the line of scrimmage. So two, three yards past line of scrimmage before he's even contacted. That's when you're getting 8, 9 yard runs. It wasn't on Andre Williams. And I think Andre Williams ran the ball to protect the football, because that's what you're taught. But I never saw a lot of clean runs that he was just running through the line of scrimmage. Everyone had a hat on the hat. I mean, the holes were smaller. It was tighter. It was congested. You didn't see the running. You definitely didn't see what you saw against the Houston Texans.
No.
And certainly not, you know, some of the successes that were against Atlanta or even a little bit against Washington.
Joe, do we still have the caller? Okay, so caller, what I really want to tell you is, and I've been praising both Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams since I saw them during the summer camp, these guys, both of these backs, can make something out of not much, but nobody can make something out of nothing.
Yeah, nobody.
And that's really what it comes down to. Go ahead.
I agree. I think we should use him more as a shotgun receiver, like how we did Rashad Jennings earlier in the season. But I think as he get used to that, I think he should be fine. But the Cruz injury, I think, impacted us the most. That's what's going to hurt. And I'm thinking of what we can do to probably, you know, get receivers open. And I heard about putting Odell Beckham in the slot, but I think we should keep him on the outside as a deep threat and keep moving Randall, who needs to step up the most, I believe, out of everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that we should put, you know, Ogletree as a leader because he's a veteran, put him in the middle to start it off if he's used to the system. But if that doesn't happen, we could try to put Preston Parker in the as a slot and see how he does. But I think that would be a good three wide receiver set for Dallas, but who has really good defense. So I'm surprised how good their defense is. So,
yeah, I agree with you, Elijah. Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
And, yes, Dallas's back seven is extremely quick, and that's one of the reasons why their defense is in the middle of the pack in the league as opposed to at the bottom like everybody thought they would. But, Roman, please address the schematics of what the Giants have to do now, because Cruz clearly was the guy who commanded the most respect in their passing game.
Right.
Now Reuben Randle really becomes the guy who has to be the number one because Beckham is not quite ready yet to be elevated into that spot. So if you're the Giants and you're working with a rookie in Washington,
right,
you're working with a veteran of Ogletree, a veteran of Parker, Beckham, and now Randle, how do you mix and match these guys? I mean, it seems clear to me that the Giants are going to just try to rotate personnel and see what works. But do you think going in that in your mind there is something they've got to get? Like Randle has to be like a 100-yard receiver this week. Does that have to happen?
Well, I think overall, and I think you said these numbers last week, what would have been the predicted numbers reception?
Yeah, we talked about that on the MSG show yesterday.
Right.
Cruz's projection the rest of the way was like 40 catches for, I think I said, 550 yards.
Right. So let's say those 40 catches, which would have meant probably 55 attempts, let's say those 40 catches are still going to be caught. They're going to be distributed differently.
Now, where should they go?
Now, this is what I call my addition by subtraction theory. Once Victor Cruz was clearly out of the equation, now the onus goes on everyone else to do their jobs and do it effectively. Because when you look in that meeting room, Preston Parker, Ogletree, the veterans in there. I mean, so everyone's got to do their job. All the routes have to be crisp. Everyone's got to be on the same page with Eli. Because, and I've been in this position, man, if somebody could just take a draw and run it for 80 yards or that one big play we need to get this thing going, there's no one in that huddle that like that. So now what happens, everyone in the huddle saying, I want to be the guy that makes that big play so we don't say, oh, if it wasn't for Cruz, we still have good players. That goes into the psyche of players that, you know, we're all naturally selfish. We're all, and receivers are always open. They're always open. They always want the ball. So now, Beckham, Larry Donnell, Preston Parker, Kerry Washington, maybe on a few plays, and Reuben Randle, they've got to be the guys that they thought they were when Cruz was getting all those balls and they were wide open.
But does the ball need to be spread around amongst all of them, or can the Giants have a go-to guy? Can Randle be the go-to guy?
I just think it has to develop, Paul, over the next two or three games.
Okay.
You've got to come out of this thing alive with a W and find a way. Just find a way to win.
Right.
And then start from there, saying, okay, this is what Reuben Randle does well. This is where he's developing. He's gotten more mature since Cruz got injured. He's done this better. Odell Beckham has a heightened sense of X since Cruz went out. Larry Donnell is working extra after practice since Cruz. I mean, everyone has to do that because Cruz is out. And I don't want to go back to this analogy of like the 2001 Patriots, but stranger things have happened when more significant players to an offense went injured.
Right.
Quarterback, a left tackle, a lineman, whoever. So this Cruz situation isn't any different. And there has to be an expectation that these guys are going to do not only their job, but more than their jobs in preparation, in film study, and doing anything it takes to make up that gap, to fill that void, so that no one's saying, man, if Cruz is here, we'd be better offensively. Cruz would have made that play. Well, no. Well, you got five receivers. I mean, the ball still have to be thrown. The routes still have to be run. You're still practicing these plays in practice. Why not have one of these guys step up organically? Mm-hmm. Now, it's happened every year in the tight end position. There's always been a tight end step up for five, 6 years in a row.
Although the last 2 weeks now, Danelle has been quiet.
Yeah, and that, you know, number 13 being in had to do something, had to do a little bit with that, and obviously his own, how defenses played him after he caught the three touchdowns against the Houston Texans. I'm sorry, against
Skins.
Against the Skins. So, again, I'm an addition by subtraction kind of a conspiracy guy. So guys will step up in the absence of when a leader goes down.
They need to.
They need to. It organically happens.
Or the Giants will lose. It's just that simple. This will be a long season if nobody does step up.
You remember, Paul, 1996 draft, Jumbo Elliott goes to the Jets, and he drafts a third-round pick out of Louisville. Say, how is this guy going to replace Jumbo Elliott? Well, I don't know if I ever replaced him, but at least I stepped up and started a few games, right?
Hey, I tell you what. I wish they kept you the whole time you were playing instead of having to go to those Clevelands and San Diego and Tampa Bays.
I would have loved to stay here my entire career.
Dre from Atlanta, you're next on the show. Hello.
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
How are we doing?
Hi.
Over. Now, listening to what you guys said earlier, I think it's the emotional factor that may be the issue. You know, it seemed like through the interviews, everyone's saying that they want to, you know, play hard for Cruz and, you know, they want to, you know, dedicate this season to him. Yeah, he's a leader. But if they lose, they're going to treat it as an emotional letdown, which would be a bad thing. I think they should just focus on their assignments and, you know, play sound football like they did three weeks prior to the Philly debacle. You know,
Dre, I think you're right. I think you're right. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. You know, I think even with, you know, DRC out, I think we still have the ability.
Well, DRC's not out. We're right now trying to figure out what's going to happen to him. We don't know that he's out of the game.
Well, not at 100%.
Right. He's certainly not 100%.
Right. I think we still have the talent to beat, you know, Dallas. But we just need to go in there sound because – it's going to be a long bye week if we don't show up. And I believe we're going to show up. I think it's going to be a competitive game, and it's going to be a lot of hats being thrown. But I'm going to tell you, we need to focus and start with the penalties and just be more focused, more sound in our delivery. We'll come out victors.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. Roman, before I get to your comments off of that, we do have confirmation. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie not at Giants practice today. The media portion of practice has just closed, therefore the information can be distributed. And, in fact, DRC not practicing today for the second day in a row. That certainly heightens the concern for the Giants' secondary. Roman, I want to ask you about this emotional factor that the guy's talking about. And I know the Giants have moved on. They're looking at the films. They're in the meeting rooms. They're practicing. They're getting ready and focusing on the Dallas Cowboys. But let me ask you this. Do you ever recall being on a team in any of your cities where the team lost a player in-game to a devastating injury? And how did the team work through that psychologically? Did it linger for a week, 2 weeks? Or how were you guys able to put it behind you before the next kickoff?
I remember in Tampa when Mike Allstott injured his neck. He had a neck problem. And because of the physical style, the running back that he was, he had a neck problem. And we lost a big chunk of our identity because of that. And it was Michael Pittman. I think Thomas Jones was also a running back in the backfield. So we started doing these two-back packages. It's called 20 personnel, two backs, no tight ends.
Right.
And because they were both good receivers out of the backfield, our identity changed completely. But in terms of yardage and the way the players were distributed, they both were tough runners. It just wasn't Mike Allstott running the ball. And I think emotionally, you got used to seeing that guy in the huddle, but – I just want to come back to this point. In terms of this whole notion of rallying around Victor Cruz, playing for – look, Victor Cruz didn't get in a car accident. All right, nothing happened to a member of his family that caused him to miss the rest of the season or something like – I mean, that didn't happen.
Is it harder, though, for you to watch a teammate go down in a game like he was?
It's emotionally difficult.
Is that more difficult or
it's
not?
It's emotionally difficult because it could have happened to anybody.
Right.
Because that could be you on that cart with Byron, the trainer – that carted him off.
Sure, everyone Byron saying, Hansen.
Yeah, Byron. Who's this guy next to Cruz? Yeah, he's Byron. He's
great like, guy, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah. And so, but in terms of a paycheck, it's your job, wanting to help your team get to the playoffs, which last time was 2011 season, pride, not wanting to be cut or replaced by a draft pick or a next year. I mean, there's a lot of other reasons to execute on Sunday, not just because of Victor Cruz. Now, emotionally, you want to play for number 80. I mean, that's a guy that you, that could have been you planting and cutting. Any one of 22 guys on the field, offense or defense, they could have planted and cut and tore a patella or anything. I mean, that could have happened to anybody. So
sure,
as a player, you empathize with that. But for the other reasons I just mentioned, and I hate to keep going back to this, you didn't score a point on the road against a divisional opponent when you had a three-game winning streak, when you're scoring 30 points a game, and what you were doing defensively. There's enough issues there to solve besides just playing for Victor Cruz.
That should almost hurt more.
Exactly. Exactly. That hurts more than watching Victor Cruz get cut off the field, 100%.
All right, let's go back to the calls. We've got Andy from California. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Sounds like you're in the car, Andy. Be careful.
Yeah, I am in the car. So I have a quick question. One thing I've noticed the Giants have not been doing is it doesn't seem like they've been using Antrell Roll in kind of like the I guess my question boils down to what happened to their use of Matt Berge, and do you think that they could use him in a three safety set so that Antrell Roll could be freer to pick up checkdowns and kind of roam free? I feel like
it's
he's
possible
when he's allowed to move around.
It is possible that they could use the three safety set. I want to interrupt you because while the three safety set is certainly something they've used a lot of in the past, and right now with Demps and Roll, Stevie Brown, and the rookie who you mentioned, they've got personnel to do it. But if you're talking about playing the Dallas Cowboys, despite their explosiveness, the first thing you got to do is stop DeMarco Murray. And if you go three safety package against the Cowboys, you've got a problem because they're going to run that ball down your throat.
Right.
Well, what I mean is three safety, but allowing Roll to come down. I feel like when he comes down into the box, he's at his best when he can come down the box or
the danger there
on a blitz.
All right, but he's also the most athletic and the speediest ball hawk you have amongst those safeties. And if you do that, now you're leaving Demps or Brown or Berry to be exposed deep. I mean, as good as Stevie Brown is at getting interceptions and he plays the ball well, he's not as fast as Roll. He doesn't have the range that Roll has.
And the year,
I thought that's what Berge had. That's the only thing. I thought Berge was a speed guy, so I thought maybe
not,
in this situation, Berge would.
He's a younger guy. He's healthier than some of the other fellas. But to say he's a speed guy, if he was, he'd be a first round pick.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't put him in that category yet. And he's going to be a great football player as he continues to grow and develop. But look, Antrell Roll's best position is playing that center field, that free safety, helping corners over the top, coming up on support when he has to. Stevie Brown or Demps, they're in the box, guys.
You don't want Roll in the box.
You do not want that because you're almost wasting his athletic ability by playing him close to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Andy. Drive safe.
All right,
let's go to Izzy from the Bronx. You're next on the show.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Izzy, what you got?
I had it in speaker. I got just a few points. We all know what happened last game. You know, it's been fully, you know, analyzed and broken down. But what I looked at it as, it just came down to the Giants. We didn't punch back, man. The Eagles hit us with a Joe Frazier left hook, and the Giants just ain't want to fight no more. That's how I look at it. But I don't think we did anything to adjust to like.
Can you close your door, sir? Can you close your door or whatever that noise is in the background?
Oh, all right, hold on.
I think.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
All right, real quick. With Dallas, you got Dallas. You got the Colts. You got San Francisco.
Yep. We know the schedule. It's tough.
My point is, the Giants need to put on they fighting gloves because these teams, they all fighters. I say that in a boxing reference because, like I said, We just got punched in the mouth, and we didn't want to fight back.
Well, look, that's
look,
hold
on now.
That's
troubling to me.
No one's denying that. In fact, Antoine Roll himself, who loves to use boxing references and is a street tough guy himself, came right out and admitted that. They punched us in the mouth, and we didn't punch back. I heard him say it. So no one's disagreeing with your point. The question is, for the Giants, can they now impose their will on the Cowboys in,
exactly.
Jerry's Palace against a team that's won five in a row and feels very good about itself?
Right.
That's the question.
Exactly, and we was in the same boat. We was feeling good about ourselves.
Yeah, see, if
I'm
the Giants,
I'm not saying we underestimated the Eagles or whatever, but I'm gonna move past the Eagles because that's
right. Please do. If I'm the Giants, I'm not interested in how they punch back. I'm interested in how they punch first. How about they take it to
how they step forward?
Exactly, Paulie Pete. That was just what I was about to hit. We gotta be a team. That when we go in Dallas or whoever, because they feeling like, you know, any team will feel like we vulnerable, and you know, just the shellacking that was given to us, and especially losing Cruz, man. I don't even want to speak on that, but damn, my boy, the heart and soul. But it just got to be the next man up. And my last point is, I know everybody's clamoring for, you know, what we're gonna do, how are we gonna replace Cruz and everything like that. But just in my opinion, I know I heard tens of callers, 20s of callers, you know, call for, you know, Washington and, you know, things of that nature. But, I mean, the whole wide receiver corps got to step up, period. But the only reason why I clamor for a little bit for Washington, because I think he warranted enough, at least some playing time from his performance in the preseason and his height. He's got like a Plaxico Burress type of body make. I'm not saying he got his skill set.
All right,
finish
your point, because we're going to have to cut you pretty soon. Finish your
no,
point.
No. That's pretty much it. You know, because
all right.
That was my last point.
Yeah, go ahead. Real quick.
And you broke it down for me, Paul. That was my last point. I just want us to punch first. Let us go in Dallas and let us, you know, going forward. Let us make sure that we don't do those things. We don't, you know, even if we do get scored on, or, you know, we see the defense or the offensive line isn't holding up, have McAdoo, you know, just adjust, do some screens.
I'll share your thoughts
guys
with Coach,
yeah,
when we get
you
to talk to him afterwards.
Much.
We appreciate the phone call.
Guys.
Roman,
a lot of things were said.
He did, but I want to show you some numbers here, folks. Big, big numbers. Dallas giving up 5.1 yards per carry on the ground. Second most in the NFL behind the Carolina Panthers. You can run on these guys. You can punch them in the mouth. You can control the ball. The problem is Dallas's offense has been controlling the ball with DeMarco Murray, keeping their defense off the field. Their defense has only been on the field an average of 26 minutes a game.
Yeah, so the offense is, I think, the number one in the league in time of possession in terms of 34 minutes.
Their best defense has been their offense.
Right, 100%.
So that's what you got to do. Now, they're giving up 115 yards a game on the ground rushing, which is 17th in the league. Now, think about that for a second, and this is where the numbers get skewed. If you're only on the field about 26 minutes a game, and you're giving up 117 yards rushing a game, in reality, that's not so good.
No.
In terms
of
yards per minute, that's not so good.
It's not good at all.
So you can punch them in the mouth. You can run against them. And without Bruce Carter, who is a very quick and good linebacker, the Giants absolutely need to establish a power running game.
And let's go back to this Dallas defensive approach. You know, Rod Marinelli is the defensive coordinator. He was the
You know him.
I know him very well. He was my neighbor in Tampa. He was a defensive line coach for the Buccaneers behind Monty Kiffin for a long time. And that Tampa 2 approach still exists. And it's based on, you know, getting to the quarterback. They have undersized guys.
They only have 7 sacks. They're not getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, they're not. And they line up wide, and they blitz the bubble. And it's – I don't want to get into too much of the X's and O's here, but there are some yards to be had on the ground that will enable you to dictate somewhat. It just comes down to either minimizing the length of those third downs or getting first downs on first and second down so you can keep the clock moving and you can keep their offense on the bench and so they don't come into there and do the same dictation of this running attack that's been working. One thing we haven't mentioned, Paul, to this point is, and we talked about this yesterday a little bit with Anita, every team that's played the Seattle Seahawks over the last 2 years, most most guys say that's the most physical game they've played. To get off that plane, to fly to Seattle on a 3-4 hour flight, play that game, fly back when your joints swell after a flight, guys are still sore. Because of the style of those type of games. I mean, and because Dallas is playing, you know, quote unquote blue collar football this year, uncharacteristic of what we thought, what Scott Linehan's history is, the offensive coordinator. I mean, he's used to airing it out with his time in Detroit and Minnesota and all these other places. So, I'm looking forward to seeing really not so much how Dallas reacts from their last home game, I mean their last game against Seattle, but how the Giants can take advantage of the fact that is DeMarco Murray, can he sustain this? Can he continue to get those carries? Can you stay on the field against that defense and expose them? This defense that everyone thought was going to be the goat, if you will, the scapegoat of this team. Can you make Tony Romo consistently get into 3rd and 8s, 3rd and 9s, 3rd and 10+, so that he can show the old Tony Romo that the Cowboys fans are holding their breath that guy never comes back? So there are a lot of things that could be answered, and I think they can be answered in the first 3 or 4 series of this football game.
I agree with that. The Cowboys had 8 guys not practice yesterday.
Right.
Primarily, I think, because they felt they needed the extra rest.
Yeah.
And they're nursing bumps and bruises. You mentioned Murray has an illness, apparently. I'm sure it's probably a cold or something, not too serious. Romo, and I did read this, they give him off every Wednesday to just kind of manage him after he had the offseason back surgery. But they're also listing him as having a back and an ankle problem.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a little bit nicked up in addition to getting his normal Wednesday rest. Boy, if you're the Giants, and folks, again, understand the spirit under which I'm saying this, but you want to hit Romo hard and early.
Right.
You want to make him feel like he's in a game.
Within the integrity of the rules, obviously.
Correct.
But
correct.
Yeah, and I think what I call post-Seattle syndrome is the reason why some of these guys aren't practicing, because every team, if a majority of teams over 2 years say the same thing about playing a team on the road or at home at their place, how physical of a game it was. I mean, what happened to the Redskins? I mean, the Redskins were beat up after that game.
Yeah.
And they were the home team. So we'll see how this
one
thing plays
out. One wonders how badly the Giants were beaten up after Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, backups.
Beaten up emotionally for sure.
Yeah. In case you're wondering, Brandon Weeden is the backup in Dallas at quarterback. We know about him from his days in the Browns. Lance Dunbar and Joseph Randall are the backup running backs for Dallas. Randall is playing, even though he was accused of shoplifting. They have fined him, but they have not taken him out of the lineup. Quickly, a couple of tweets I want to get to before we go back to the calls. 201-939-4513. We've got about 15 to 20 minutes left on the program. We do have Eric, New York Giants, Pappy 10, says, what are your thoughts about Giants? Can they stop Dallas? I think stop Dallas's running game and pressure Romo. We've discussed that already. That's something that has to be done. Just to give you the numbers in case you don't know them, DeMarco Murray leads the NFL with 785 yards rushing, also with 6 rushing touchdowns. He's had 100 yards in each of his first 6 games this year, and he's averaging 4.9 yards per carry. Quickly, some of the other messages we have here. Sonny Boy wants to know, do you know if they will move JPP to the other side? The Giants occasionally flop their ends, but not a lot.
No, JPP is a right end. He's not. This isn't a, you know, take advantage of the new tackle, if you will. I don't think that's the case. I mean, the Cowboys have a good left tackle in Tyron Smith, who's a Pro Bowler. I'm looking forward to seeing that matchup, actually. So I think JPP is not a guy that would, you know, line up against the weaker guy to try to get more sacks. I mean, I think the Mathias Kiwanuka would do well on that side, and JPP will do well, rightfully so, at that right-end position.
By the way, on that injury report from yesterday, left tackle Tyron Smith is on the Dallas injury report with an ankle, and he did not practice yesterday. I don't believe that's serious from what I read, but should that be an issue, well, JPP might want to take advantage of that.
Right.
John from Manhattan, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings. Hello.
How are you, gentlemen?
Hi.
Paul, I want to say I think you're great. And,
thank you.
And Roman, I think you were great, a great player, and I had a lot of respect for you, and I think you were underrated.
Thank you very much.
But Paul, this question is really for Roman. And I'm not a guy to dwell on the negative. I've been a Giant fan for 35 years. But, Roman, how is it possible that a team can come back from such a demoralizing loss, and how is it that you know, you can understand like one team, one phase of the team playing badly. They played badly from beginning to end in all phases. Every guy got beat badly on that day. And I just looked at that game and I said to myself, as a fan, I said, you know what? Not to dwell on the negative, Roman, but like this is like a defining moment in the season. How do you take the field the next game after such a demoralizing victory? From your experience, Roman, and I'm not saying that you've had that type of game, but and show up, especially with another division game lined up with Dallas that's hot. How is that possible?
I think you just have to be a professional. You have to wake up Monday morning, accept what you did to put the team in that position, and that's everyone, not just the coaching staff or Eli Manning says, hey, we all have to play better. No, every single person from the 53rd guy on the team, the practice squad guys, I mean, everyone has to play their part in this process. Secondly, there's the infamous 24-hour rule where you forget about it the next day, which is fine. But, Paul, you just said that the blame shifting, if you will, or the focus, the concentration has been completely different this year. In the past, I'd seen games, I think it was the end of the 2012 season, if I'm not mistaken, where, you know, blowouts, you know, Green Bay, Baltimore, I mean, New Orleans, I mean, just uncharacteristic blowouts. Oh, we're a better team than that, we're a better team than that.
Yeah, nonchalant, we can fix this. It's not a big deal.
We'll be okay. No, I think there was an alarming approach, I think, this week to saying, we can't play like this ever again.
That's right.
We can't get back in that 0-6 world where we said, oh, the roster is different now, everything's changed. Because you keep playing like that, there'll be other questionable changes that'll be looming around the Giants fans. So
absolutely. Because I look at it and I hear the announcers that are not our home team announcers, and they're saying this is a game that's being played men against boys. Man, that hurts as a fan.
Oh, of course.
Your team to be described as, you know, boys being played with men, and I just couldn't understand. I was waiting for something to happen in terms of some players to show up. And I'm watching this thing, as I am for 35 years, very closely at these one-on-one battles in the trenches, Roman. And these guys just were embarrassing. And it really hurt as a fan. I just have to say that. Especially coming off the heels of what John Mara said at the end of last season, that, you know, this situation was broken and we are going to do everything we can to fix it.
John, if I may temper your disgust for just a minute, I mean, it was 20-0 early in the third quarter when the Giants thought they had a touchdown that might have triggered a comeback.
Not to interrupt you, but forget the score. Forget the score,
Paul.
But
after Cruz got hurt, and I don't know, maybe Roman could better answer this, forget about what happens after the game and then during the week as you prepare for the following game, but in the middle of a game, when you see a guy go down that horribly, how much does that take out of your lungs, and how hard is it to continue playing the third and the fourth quarter when you see a guy carted off? And I'm not using that as an excuse, but I want to know.
It does affect you as a player. You care about the guy, but you either say, I'm going to do something about it, or it continues this downward spiral emotionally.
Went downward after that injury. There was no chance they were coming back.
Yeah, so, and again, you're right. 9 minutes left, third quarter, the score would have been 20-7. Maybe defense does a 3-and-out. I mean,
maybe that game's not over.
You know, Bowman had the interception that put them in that position
to
score. And, I mean, a lot of things could have happened. But I think the Giants killed themselves. They shot themselves in the foot because they couldn't come over the early adversity in the game. They just couldn't come back from it. When it was 10-0, they'd say, okay, they'll score 10-7, then it's a different football game. Then it's 17-10, then it's 20-0, to zip, whatever. It didn't work out that way. And again, I really hope for everyone's sake, because I've been in that position. I've been a player and gotten blown out, and the next week you got to come back and respond. I played for a Cleveland Browns team that went 2-1 and lost 9 straight.
We're not going to make you relive that, Robert.
Oh, my goodness. I still remember those losses. Playing in a division that had 10 divisional opponents that year.
John, I will tell you this. Since December of 2012, the Giants have been on the wrong side of a blowout shutout 4 times. The previous 3 times, they've come back and gone 1-2. We'll see what happens now after the 4th time. I don't have any answers for you right now. We're going to have to see what the answers are Sunday when the Giants get on the field against the Cowboys. But thanks for calling.
Okay, well, a victory over Dallas would certainly go a long way with making us heal up a little bit on this. Keep up the good work, you guys.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so
much.
That
would definitely cure my remedies, right? I
hope so.
With yours too.
I want you to feel better, Roman. I don't like you feeling glum and miserable. We have some word here from SiriusXM NFL Radio. They have tweeted out that Jason Garrett, the coach of the Cowboys, told reporters today the MRI offered good news for Tyron Smith's ankle, and he will try to practice today. So apparently they sent him for an MRI. I didn't even know it was that serious. So it's more than just a twisted ankle or a sprain. They've actually gone through the MRI process. Boy, I'm curious now to see how he comes through.
Yeah, I mean, and if he's going to try to practice, that means it's not anything severe in terms of his ankle. But, again, a left tackle with the ankle that's not 100%.
Well, now,
doesn't make you as effective.
If Smith can't go, then Parnell would probably wind up having to step in at left tackle. And that means rookie Donald Hawkins would have to then move into the right tackle spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Because Free is out.
Right.
Boy, now if you're the Giants and you see two suspect tackles on the edge of that offensive line, hey, with the three studs in the middle, you know where you're going.
Oh, of course. Oh, 100%. And hopefully on third downs, if that is the case, not in terms of licking your chops if you're JPP, but you've got to have a better game than you did last week against a guy that's a Pro Bowl guy if the next week the Pro Bowler's not playing.
John from Maine, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings.
Hello, fellas.
Hey, John.
I wanted to mention that if the Giants can beat – I think it's good the Giants are playing the Cowboys this week, because if you can beat a team that just beat the Super Bowl champion and a division rival who you know is going to be ready for you, then you know you've gotten this game out of your system. But I wanted to ask Roman, how does a team – from 1 week to the next, it was a terrible performance. How did they vanish like that? I don't think anybody saw that coming.
You got a winning lottery ticket in your pocket? Because that's about what we need to figure out.
We just talked about it. We just discussed it. And I want to go back to last year, the Carolina game. I think that was a Thursday night game, 38-0. And I really thought that was the last time I would see that type of a performance.
Seattle came into this building and shut out the Giants later on in the season.
Yeah. Again, I'm in terms of on the road.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned, Paul, that they saw that this was not just something that we're going to just say, well, we'll do better next time. We'll forget about it. I'm glad they kind of taken down.
You can't wipe this away with a Kleenex.
No, you can't. The roster's different. This isn't last year's team or the year before. I mean, it's a big turnover. This coaching staff's different. Offensive philosophy's different. And just for the simple fact that this team had been progressing in a positive direction offensively, you started seeing sacks, turnovers, interceptions, sack fumbles. I mean, that. I go back to that sack that Kiwi made against Washington in the Redskins, the first series of the game. I mean, he looked like Reggie White coming around that corner. And though the Giants were doing things to have you believe that this was a different football team after starting off 0-2, that they were really heading in the right direction. And obviously they did not do that. Now, the best cure to this remedy.
I really expect a better. Giants are much better this week.
Well, I
hope they got that out of the system, whatever that was.
I hate to say must win, but a close 34-31 game loss is not going to get it done either.
No. Right. Look, they're two games out of the division race right now behind two teams. I mean, you go three games down in the division, especially with the opponents coming up after the bye, you know, the Seattles and the San Franciscos and the Indianapolises. You are looking at one heck of a tall mountain to climb.
Yeah, if you go 3-4, Paul, especially with this team,
but it's now or never.
If you don't win this game,
so let's hope for the best.
Thank you
so much for the
call,
guys.
Paul.
Hi, John. Go ahead.
If you don't win this game, Paul, you're fighting to go 9-7, and still not make the playoffs.
Well, you're praying for nine and seven in a wild card.
Because you're too far away in the division. That's the only thing that guarantees a playoff berth in that division. Because somebody else is going to go 10-6 and not win the division. It could most likely be in the NFC West.
I've thought since the beginning of the season that the winner of the NFC East will be 5-1 in the division. I don't think you can lose more than one game in this division and expect to be the champion. The Giants have now already lost one game in the division.
Right.
I think they've got to sweep the rest of their games in the East
have
to have a chance to win it.
You have to.
I really do. All right, Roman, before we kick it out of here, we got a couple of minutes left. We'll shut down the phone calls for now. Go back to Twitter for just a second, see if anybody wants to hit us up over there. Let's see here. We have Abraham Roldan says, that's bad. I'm sure that's in relation to DRC not practicing, because
yeah.
That's not good.
Right.
Sonny Boy says, 26 minutes a game. That didn't even get their heart rate up. We have to change that. That talking about the average amount of time that the Dallas defense is on the field. Interesting part about this, and Roman, talk to me about this factor as an offensive lineman. If the defense is only on the field for 25, 26 minutes a game, as Eli Manning told us yesterday, that means they are as fresh as a daisy for all four quarters.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just that you don't expose them because they're facing fewer snaps, but they're clicking, and they're firing on all cylinders, and they're already a fast defense as it is. If you don't beat on them and wear them down, they're going to keep coming at you.
Yeah, if you keep a defense in that 50 to 60 total reps mode, that means they only have about 20. I mean, it's like preseason. That means they only have about 25 snaps in the first half, then maybe 25 to 30 in the second half. That's not a lot of reps. I mean, that's really two long series. And, you know, offenses are built for 11, 12, 15-play drives to go down the field. Defenses are built to go three and out so they can be fresh in the fourth quarter. Here come the blitzes. Here come the sacks, playing with the lead. I mean, that's how defenses are built. So if you could find a way to keep this defense on the field by the offense being on the field, meaning the offense of the Giants, it rests Tony Romo, it rests that offense. It takes them off their timing, and it starts to show, I think, a little bit more of the vulnerability of this Dallas defense, of the defense that you thought you were going to see when the season started. But they haven't had a chance to expose themselves.
That's it. They have not been exposed. In fact, if you look at it, there's really only two games where they've really taken a beating defensively. The Niners beat them opening day 28-17, and in week three, Dallas nudged out the Rams 34-31 in a dramatic comeback. They were down by like three scores in that game.
Right.
But the Rams put up 31 points on them, Roman.
I know, and so it's definitely capable of happening again.
All right, folks, once again, we are here Monday to Friday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time with Giants Big Blue Kickoff Live presented by DraftKings. Our phone number, write it down, is 201-939-4513. You can always hit us up at Giants Chat on Twitter. We'll see if we got one more or two before we just kick it out of here, try to sneak somebody else in, Roman, because the fans do want to hear all kinds of answers to our, well, what did I just do? I just blew my Twitter off the page. Not a good idea.
I typed in Giants Chart instead.
Yeah, that's what
Giants
I did.
Chat.
Hold on. Here we go. Giants Chat. See, I finally got it right. There we go. See if there's anybody else here. Andrew wants to say they couldn't stop the run against the team that was struggling to run. How are we possibly going to stop the best? Referring to DeMarco Murray. And Avery says it's going to take a team effort for this victory. Every area of play needs to step up. Offense, defense, pass rush, and special teams. Roman, I think I can make it very simple for the fans, and I don't even think you have to listen or read anything else about this game. The Giants got to bring their A game on 100%. Sunday. If they do, they can win. Let's make something very clear. The Giants can win this game, but they got to be clicking on all cylinders. Anything less than their best is not good enough.
Yeah, and to say that they have to bring their A game, Paul, is really an understatement. They have to execute 100% all the way fourth quarter. And it may come down to the fourth quarter, and they have to execute again on the road, hostile environment, all those words that are said when you go on the road. But they have to find a way to win the game no matter what.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. All right, folks, that'll do it for this edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live presented by DraftKings. I'm Paul Dottino. He's Roman Oben. Stick around tomorrow, 12 noon. John Schmelk and Lance Meadow will be back for one more hour to answer all of your questions about Giants football. See you then.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.